हरिः ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः। ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसरि गौरभक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। So now we have that the Pandavas have revealed themselves. They came early to the court and were already sitting there not in the king's seat, but in the seats meant for kings. And so then Virat was surprised because here his courtier, his cook, Goshal in charge and his stable in charge are all sitting there. And so then when he comes in and that, then he reveals, the Yudhishthira reveals who they are. They each tell who each other is and all that. And so the king is like so excited that the Pandavas had decided to spend their year in incognito in his kingdom, and that he was able to take care of us. Because Yudhishthira made it very clear that we spent the last year here very happy, very safe, and they were very comfortable. Virat offered his entire kingdom to Yudhishthira, with its scepter, treasury, and city. He arranged for Brahmas to offer them worship and repeatedly claimed, "What good fortune!" The Pandavas got down and embraced the old monarch, who gazed at them without cessation. Again, offering his kingdom to them, he turned to Arjuna and added, "O hero, please take my daughter's hand." Arjuna placed his arm around the king's shoulders. "Let your daughter become my daughter-in-law. That would be a fitting alliance between our two houses." The king looked surprised. "Why would you not accept the princess as your own wife?" "Since I came here, your daughter has seen me like a father," Arjuna replied. "We have often been alone together, and she has often confided in me. O king, I've seen her as my daughter and do not wish anyone to think it was ever different. If I were to accept her as my wife, others would doubt her purity. I wish to prove her purity and therefore will continue to see her as my daughter. There's no difference between a daughter and a daughter-in-law. Let her wed my son Abhimanyu. He is Krishna's nephew, and he resembles a celestial in every way. He will be a proper husband for Uttara and a son for you." Right, so then he wants to, that people will talk because people have a tendency to talk. That's what gramikata means. It means that you talk about things that aren't even worth talking about or don't need to be talked about, or they've already been talked about, but you talk about them again just to get some more, squeeze some more juice out of it. And so then they'll try to say is, "Oh, but they always were had this relationship." They know it. So then this way, she's a daughter in law, then they'll always see that she was a daughter everyone treated, because all the ladies in the palace saw like that. But if they got married, then they might doubt. But if they don't, then they'll think, "Okay, yes, what we saw was correct." The king nodded approvingly. "You have spoken wisely, most virtuous one. Do what you think is proper. Whoever has a friendship with Arjuna, no matter what it may be, has all his desires fulfilled." So then, in this way, he has a relationship directly with Arjuna, but with the Pandavas. And so now, by family connection, then they're relatives. And so then he's very happy with that, because who wouldn't want to be connected with the Lord's pure devotees? Yudhishthira gave his permission for the marriage, and it was settled. The king then arranged for the brothers to be quartered in his palace, right? So instead of being wherever they were, now he's keeping them as royal guests in his palace. He sent messengers out to announce to the Pandavas' friends and allies that having come out of exile, they were well and now staying in his capital. Yudhishthira invited all of them to come to the city, and before long they began to arrive. Krishna and Balaram came from Dwarka, bringing Abhimanyu and many other members of their family. Drupad arrived accompanied by a huge division of soldiers, right? Because he's going to come in case there's any trouble from the Kauravas. The great king Kashiraja, a good friend of Yudhishthira, whose daughter had married Bhima, also came with another vast army. The Pandavas duly worshipped all of them as they arrived in Virat. They were particularly joyful to see their friend and well-wisher Krishna, who brought with him an immense force of warriors. He bowed before Yudhishthir and Bhima while the younger Pandavas touched his feet. Then they all embraced and sat down to exchange news. It was settled that the marriage between Abhimanyu and Uttara would take place on the next full moon day. And Virat began to make the arrangements. The city was decked with flags and festoons. When the day of the wedding arrived, garlands were hung everywhere and musicians played in Virat's palace. Many beautiful damsels wearing jeweled earrings and headed by Draupadi led Uttara to the wedding sacrifice. Numerous Brahmins sat around the fire chanting auspicious hymns from the Vedas. As the Pandavas looked on with Krishna, Balaram, and the other kings, Abhimanyu accepted Uttara's hand from Virat. Surrounded by the Brahmins and kings, the bride and groom showed like a god and goddess amid the celestial hosts. Virat gave Abhimanyu a dowry of 7,000 horses, 2,000 elephants, and a great heap of gems and gold. The ceremony ended with a feast. Pure foods were offered to Vishnu and then distributed first to the Brahmins and then to the thousands of citizens who attended the wedding. Gifts and charity were distributed to all, and everyone left the ceremony filled with joy. As they departed for their homes, they praised the king as well as his daughter and new son-in-law. With the wedding's celebrations over, the Pandavas began to think of their next move. How would they recover the kingdom? No word had been received from Hastinapur, right? It's like now that they, you know, it's there and it's known who they are, you'd think that somebody would have come from there and said, come back, your kingdom, and all this and that. The Kurus now knew that the Pandavas were alive and well and living at Virat. According to the agreement made at the final gambling match, it was time to give them back their city and dominions. But it seemed the matter would not be settled peaceably. Krishna suggested they call an assembly and discuss what to do next. Thus, the day following the wedding, all the kings came to Virat's court. So when it said they all left for their homes, that meant the citizens of Virat's city there. You know, all the kings, they remained. You know, because they came to meet them, but they also came to see, do they give back the kingdom? And if not, what are the plans for war? On the front seat sat Virat and Drupad, the senior-most kings, along with Krishna and Balaram, who everyone considered to be the greatest. By their side sat Yudhishthir and his brothers, and all around them were dozens of other monarchs. These mighty heroes shone like stars studying the clear sky. While Krishna and Balaram looked like the sun and moon in their midst, the hall buzzed with their conversation as they settled into places. When everyone was seated, the noise died down and they sat gazing pensively at Krishna. When everyone was seated, the noise died down and they sat gazing pensively at Krishna. Smiling and glancing around at all the kings, Krishna spoke. Everyone knows how Yudhishthir was unfairly defeated at dice and dispossessed of his kingdom by Suvala's son. You also know that he and his brothers were made to live in the forest for 13 years. The sons of Pandu are capable of subjugating the world by force of arms, whose chariots go unrestrained to any terrestrial or celestial region, and who are true to their word have now completed their vow. They have suffered unbearable hardships, especially in this last year when they were obliged to render menial service to others. They now seek their rightful kingdom. Right? So he's pointed it out. He didn't say, you know, that anything about this and that, what was right or wrong, what the Pandavas did. Yudhishthir made that decision. He made a vow. He said to Dhritarashtra that that's what they do. And so they've completed their vow after so much hardships. Now it's time that they get their kingdom. Krishna looked around the assembly. All the kings seated on golden thrones, decked with gems, gazed intently at him as he continued. O kings, consider what is right and best for both the son of Dharma and for Duryodhana. The virtuous Yudhishthir will not accept even the kingdom of the gods unrighteously. He would prefer the rightful lordship of just a single village. Although he has been antagonized and cheated by the Kauravas, he still wishes them well. Duryodhana and his brothers have repeatedly tried to kill the Pandavas, but Yudhishthir has tolerated everything with a peaceful mind. All of his brothers are obedient to his order and would never abandon virtue. They will accept whatever he decides is right, and he will always follow my advice. Right? Because Yudhishthir he's religious, he's going to do everything right. His brothers are religious, they're dedicated to following the brother. So they're going to do the correct thing. And Yudhishthir, he takes counsel. So he's taking counsel from Krishna, right? Because you're supposed to take from counsel from the Brahmins, but here's the Supreme Brahman, you know, the topmost of all the gurus. Krishna glanced at Yudhishthira, whose eyes were fixed affectionately on Krishna's face. Yudhishthira desired only to please Krishna, and his brothers all shared that sentiment. Whatever Krishna advised would surely be best for them. Even Bhima, although longing to wreak vengeance on the Kauravas, would renounce his anger if Krishna deemed it wrong. He raised a hand on his great mace as Krishna went on. My feelings are that we should first establish Duryodhana's intentions by sending a reliable messenger to Hastinapur. Let us try by all means to settle this affair peaceably and fully in accordance with the eternal codes of religion. Right? Because first you always start off with Sama. You always start off with friendly talks and try to work things out peaceably. Let us avoid unnecessary violence. But if Duryodhana will not return Yudhishthira's lands, then I think there will have to be war. The Pandavas will slay Duryodhana and all his followers. If you feel the Pandavas' cause is just, then unite yourself and our forces with them and march out for battle. Tell me, O kings, if my words meet with your approval. Balaram raised his hand, signifying his intention to speak. The assembly turned towards him. His dark blue silks highlighted his pure white complexion. A brilliant helmet adorned his head, and a garland of white lotuses hung around his neck. By his side lay his golden plow weapon. As he spoke, his voice resounded around the hall like a drum. Devika's son has spoken well. His words are meant for the welfare of both the Kauravas and the Pandavas. Let the Kuru kingdom be shared. The heroic sons of Kunti will dwell in peace with their cousins, each ruling half of the Kuru empire. I agree that a man should be dispatched to Hastinapur. He should address the noble-minded Bhishma, Drona, Vidura, Kripa, Karna, Shakuni, and all of Dhritarashtra's sons. All of them are heroes, and all of them are well-versed in the Vedas. After informing these men of Yudhishthira's desire, the messenger should carry back their reply. But the Kauravas must be given due deference. After all, it was by Yudhishthira's fault that the kingdom was lost. Right? He's pointing out the point that he did gamble and did agree to all the different terms. He could have stopped at some point, but, you know, Shakuni keeps needling him on, but he technically didn't have to. So Balaram's pointing out that side of it. Although unskilled at dice, he accepted the skillful Shakuni's challenge, which that is correct, but what may not be understood here is why that is because Dhritarashtra had invited him for the dice game, and Dhritarashtra approved of this arrangement. But other than that, there was nothing lawful about it. There were many other kings with whom he could have played, but he chose the son of Suvala. Balaram looked at Yudhishthira and smiled. The Pandavas showed no sign of discomfort at his words. Yudhishthira had always felt guilty of a misdemeanor for having gambled away his kingdom. He bowed his head as Balaram went on. The brave son of Pandu unfortunately lost at every step of the game. In the grip of lust and anger, he gambled everything and was defeated. Who can blame Shakuni for this? Therefore, we must adopt a conciliatory tone when we address the Kauravas. We should avoid war by any means. That gain by peaceful methods is beneficial to all, while that gain by war has the opposite effect. Although Yudhishthira humbly accepted Balaram's speech, it surprised the other Pandavas. They knew that the Yadava hero had a soft spot for Duryodhana, his disciple at mace fighting. But when he last saw them, just after they had left Hastinapur, he had been in favor of them marching into the Kuru capital and punishing the Kauravas. It was hard to understand why his attitude had changed. Perhaps Duryodhana had influenced him with his version of what had happened in Hastinapur. Whatever the causes, the Pandavas knew that Balaram was always their well-wisher. They remained silent as he paused in his speech. Suddenly, Satyaki, a powerful Yadava hero and one of Arjuna's martial students, leapt to his feet. He was incensed by Balaram's words and could not hear more. Even as Balaram continued to speak, Satyaki interrupted, and all eyes turned towards him. A man will always reveal his inner nature when he speaks. As a forest contains trees that bear fruits, and those which do not, so in one family are born powerful heroes, and others who are powerless and cowardly. O plow-bannered one, I am loath to call you cowardly, but why do you display such timidity towards the wicked Kauravas? Balaram sat calmly, but Satyaki's face glowed red with fury. He gazed around the assemblies and went on, "How can anyone sit here and listen as Balaram speaks in this way? We all know what happened in Hastinapur. Yudhishthira was cheated out of his kingdom by a mean trick. Had the Kauravas gone to Indraprastha and defeated him there, then that would have been fair. But they summoned him to play in their own city and then compelled him to accept Shakuni's challenge. How can prosperity attend such men?" Right? Because then, having come to Hastinapur, then they're, you know, they set the terms. But if they had gone to Indraprastha, then, you know, Yudhishthira would have set the terms. So he's saying that would have been fair. "Why should Yudhishthira now approach him in a servile mood? The Kuru kingdom is his by right. It once belonged to his grandfather and then to his father. There's no doubt about this. Even if this pious man had no rightful claim to the kingdom, he still deserves to rule the earth by virtue of his qualities. The Kauravas will not willingly give him back his ancestral territories, then I will force them to do so. I will persuade them by cold steel on the battlefield." Right, because he's pointing out he should have the whole kingdom. But, you know, that's what it should be. So the half, that should be not a problem to get. So, you know, the idea that they wouldn't get anything when it's actually the whole thing's their kingdom, because he is the eldest of all of them. So therefore, by right, he's the Yuvaraj. Satyaki stepped forward and stood on the mosaic floor in the center of the hall. He clutched the hilt of his sword as he stepped into the middle of a design depicting the blazing sun. "I will oblige the evil-minded Kauravas to fall at Yudhishthira's feet. If they refuse, then they will have to go with their ministers to death's abodes. Who can withstand Satyaki when he stands ready to fight? Can the mountains bear the thunderbolt? In the same way, who can bear the brunt of the Gandiva bow when Arjuna wields it, or the force of Bhima's mace? When the Pandavas are united with Drupad and his two sons, as well as their own sons, what man valuing his life would face them? That when the great Yadava heroes come out for battle, what will the Kauravas do? After killing all of them, let us install Yudhishthira as emperor of the world. It is impious and shameful to beg from enemies. We should set out at once. Either the Kauravas will surrender the kingdom, or they will lie prostrate on the battlefield." So if they go out there, then the battle happens right there. And in one sense, as far as a tactic goes, it's actually better, because then they won't have everybody else. They already have so many armies there and so many great fighters. And so if they march there now and fight, there's a good chance the Kauravas wouldn't do very well. But, you know, if he set a later date and then everybody is able to amass their forces and then goes for the battle, then like they did about Kurukshetra, then he has much more arrangements are there. So, you know, Satyaki on that side is, you know, what he's saying is good. So Krishna's first point is first find out what's their mood, like that. And Balaram's saying he agrees with that, but he's pointing out we shouldn't be too harsh because Yudhishthira, you know, made a mistake. And so then Satyaki, you know, is pointing out, no, it was a trick all along. It wasn't just that Yudhishthira got caught up in gambling. He thought, hey, let me gamble with him, you know. Having vented his anger, Satyaki returned to his seat. Balaram still remained peaceful. He could understand Satyaki's feelings. The old king Drupad then spoke. "Well said, Satyaki. It will doubtlessly be as you say. Duryodhana will never surrender the kingdom. Dhritarashtra is too fond of his son, and he will follow him without question. So it will be with Bhishma and Drona. They have a misguided loyalty. In my opinion, we should not act on Balaram's suggestion. Duryodhana will not respond to a humble approach. He will misunderstand such a mild message as weakness. Force is the only language he respects." Which technically is correct. You see, he says so many things, Karna says so many, but when there's a battle, then, you know, Duryodhana tends to step back. Though we do see in the battle at Virat that, you know, he came forward and fought, but he was defeated twice. And Karna also came forward, much more kind of that Kshatriya, but he was also defeated twice. Everyone present esteemed Drupad's wisdom and maturity. They listened attentively. "This is my advice. let us prepare for battle. Right? So now we will see how, you know, what do they choose? Because now they've heard different persons speak, different kings speak, so what will be the plan? Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada.